Wishing the holidays could come early? If you own or manage a business, they can with help from iHeartRadio. People are already shopping for their loved ones and hunting for deals wherever they can find them, including right here. They're listening to the radio. They're listening to podcasts. They could be listening to you. Don't wait for everyone else to kick off the holidays. Get your best season of the year up and running today. Call 844-844-IHEART or visit iHeartAdvertising.com.
Can you believe we signed up to do this again?
No. What is the matter with us?
What is actually the matter with us? Uh-huh. Last time we had 4 episodes to do in a week, and this time we have 6, and we're like, yup.
Okay. Yeah. Sign me up. Do you know how, like, people say the only way that people can have a second child is because you forget the pain the first time?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening here. We have forgotten the actual full extent of it.
Did we have a vaginal birth?
Yeah, we did.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Welcome, friends, old and new, to another season of Something That We Do here on Netflix. We don't got tricks. It's just me with Daisy.
Wow.
That just flowed.
Did you just write that off the top of your head?
I mean, clearly. Wasn't very good, Daisy.
Wow. I mean, I was impressed. I was impressed.
If you are new here, hello. I am Ellen Marsh, and across from me is Tony Award winner Daisy Egan. I will never not introduce her like that because she made me sign a paper that said I wouldn't. I'm just a plain ordinary person named Ellen Marsh, and you are listening to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, a Love is Blind recap podcast. Tell them what's good, Daisy.
What's good? Like a really fresh vanilla cream donut from Dunkin' Donut.
No. When I say like what's good, the kids just say like what's good, and then it's like what's up. So just do it again. So like when I say what's good, you're just like you say like what's happening that's good, and you're not like just good things. Okay, do it again. But pretend we didn't have to talk
okay.
about this.
Sorry. Okay. We'll edit that part out.
Yeah, we'll edit it.
Okay. Are you going to ask me?
No, just pretend like I asked it because we're going to edit it and then you're going to talk and you're going to...
Okay.
Do you need me to ask you again?
Yeah, because I've already forgotten the question.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hey, Daisy, what's good?
Hey, Ellen. Not the election season.
No. Okay. Normally this podcast is really fun, but things happen. It's season 6. We have signed up for a whole other season. Did you listen to season 5? We put it on a general feed. If you're here, like, subscribe to our general feed. Even though you're here, let Apple know that you like us because we're needy.
We are very needy of both attention and like material goods.
We love stuff.
The stars and the reviews help us get both of those things. So.
Daisy, we have so much to cover.
So much.
We're in a new season. It's a new year, new you, new me and you. It's 2024. It's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Shows are dropping. We got to jump in.
So are our butts. Our butts are dropping the older we get.
Don't get it twisted with my lip gloss, which is popping.
Right.
Not dropping. You drop things when they're hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then my lip gloss is popping. And then my milkshake brings the boars to the yard. I feel like you.
The boars?
It did sound like I said that. But I just really thought we were going to coast past it. Season 6, episode 1, Higher Love.
Oh my gosh. First of all, good job, Love is Blind and Netflix, on getting the rights to play Higher Love, which is a terrific song.
And how did they get the rights? They always have those nameless songs that don't really have a melody or a beat. They're just free on the internet.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like when Glee started to get really popular, like then musicians wanted their songs on Glee. And at the beginning, like all they could get was Jump by what's his face? Might as well jump.
Sure.
But then it started being like the most popular songs. That's probably what's happening here is people are like, oh, actually having our music on Love is Blind will be helpful to my career. So they got Higher Love, which is, again, that is a bop.
Sing it for us.
Bring me a higher love. Whoa. Bring me a higher low.
You guys don't know this, but since she's a Tony Award winner, you all have to pay 12 cents.
Yep.
So Venmo it now. Part of me loves the pods.
Yeah.
And then part of me just thinks it's the least fun because it's just so random and you can't really pay attention and you're sort of following everybody's storyline and it gets better as time goes. But I don't know. There's something exciting about the first episode of every season.
I agree. I think especially when you know that a couple has matched and then you're seeing them on like another date, you're kind of like, okay, we already get like you're gonna propose. But, you know, but then you have to remember that a lot of this is set up for later on. Like, you know, those dates might seem sort of, or the conversations might seem sort of like mundane and boring right now. But then you realize later on, like, oh, that was an important conversation.
Actually, do you want to hear a funny story before we jump in? One
Always.
Of Lola's friends was over this weekend and Daisy was over. The kid goes, I can't tell when you guys are serious or joking. I feel just a level of sarcasm that I can't understand.
Oh,
it felt like a compliment, but also an insult.
I think it's Gen Z. They just don't really get the like elder millennial Gen X.
They don't get anything.
No, they don't get. They're so stupid.
They're so dumb. I'll bet we don't have a single Gen Z on this Patreon, so fuck them.
Fuck them hard.
You know why? They're poor.
Right.
They have no money.
Right.
They have no jobs. They're teenagers, so they're stupid.
Right, and they won't get jobs.
They're not going to get jobs.
No, because they're lazy.
And even if they had jobs, they're not going to pay for content.
No, and all they want to do is be famous on TikTok, and it's embarrassing, really.
What's Monty? Gen Alpha, right?
Yeah, which is ironic, because it may be the last generation.
Let's hope so. Well, we start off, some random talking head says that the dating scene is shallow. Is it? I feel like that's an exaggeration. I feel like it's really full of people looking for intimate and deep connections on a deeper level, like a spiritual level.
Yeah. That's why people go on Grindr, is because they're like, I'm really looking for a spiritual deep connection from your penis into my butt.
Right. A spiritual deep connection means a handy in the Pizza Hut bathroom.
Exactly.
This preview, though. The preview of the scene. You know they're not going to give too much away, faces, but we see kissing. We see kissing of the belly.
Mm-hmm.
We've got yelling. We've got fighting. We've got a wedding. We've got people running. We've got, you fucked her. I know you.
Oh. This season looks juicy, juicy AF. And also, like, you know what it looks like? It looks like a train wreck. But the train was carrying cartons of juice.
And milk.
And milk.
Because it spoils.
The milkshakes that bring all of the boars to the yard.
The boars.
So everyone is very, very dressed up. They're wearing gowns. They've got all the makeup on in the universe. They all look like soap opera stars. All of them.
That's a great call.
Thank you. I just thought, like, man, these all of these people could be on, you know, Days of Our Lives or whatever, and probably act just as well. Although I will say, in defense of soap opera actors, that acting is, that job is pretty hard, because it's like,
oh yeah,
you don't get a lot of time to learn that shit, and
they don't call it show fun.
They sure don't. Our favorite reality show hosts show up, Vanessa Nick.
Vanessa is looking like an exhausting banana. She is wearing a yellow dress and she's exhausting. And I love yellow, but everything she does is annoying. So I'm just going to make fun of it. Nick Lachey walks in and goes, ladies, like they're cheering for him when he was in Backstreet Degrees or 98 Steps or whatever that
98 Kids on the Block, I think is what it was.
He was instantly transported. There was two claps and he was like, hello.
Hey, my dick just got hard.
It was so weird. They're back. Nobody listens to us, Daisy. Nobody cares.
Vanessa looks tired. And I don't mean that in like, oh, you look tired. I just mean like she looks kind of like she's just like over it. She just sort of looks like, okay, I've done this now. You know,
I feel like they probably have the internet. They know that nobody likes them. They probably listen to our show.
Yeah.
And she's probably grateful we didn't name it Shut the Fuck Vanessa Lachey.
Absolutely. Nick, to his credit, is not saying that he's Nick Lachey, obviously, anymore.
It only took him 17 seasons to outgrow that horrible joke.
Exactly.
Nick says, what made you come on Love is Blind? And Dion, 26-year-old tech sale, says he has not been fulfilled. And AD says that You know, she's been a dancer and a cheerleader, and she's dated all of those guys. She's over it. Trevor
has a very deep voice, and he's like, I'm a big guy. I'm into fitness. Women always judge me before they get to know me just because that one time I threw a car.
Right.
And sometimes when I'm done with a Coors Light, I break the can over my head.
Uh-huh.
And I live at the gym. No, seriously, my address is goldsgym.trevor. Uh-huh. And I don't know why no one takes me seriously. Yeah.
He has a mullet, although it is a lady mullet. That's a mini mullet, let's call it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the kind of haircut that my hairdresser wanted to give me. He was like, it's a pixie mullet. And I was like, no, thanks. But he looks like Goofy. He looks like Goofy.
Oh, my gosh. You are so right. I'm never going to be able to unsee that. Yes.
So I will be referring to him as either Mullet Guy, Mullet, or Goofy throughout this season. So let's all just get on board. And I also just want to point out that AD, she doesn't say she's a cheerleader. She says she's a sports team's dancer.
Thank you.
To be fair, like at first I was like, oh, come on, girl, you're a cheerleader. But then I'm like, actually, cheerleading is a very different thing from what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Those girls are like serious dancers. And, you know, professional cheerleaders are like athletes.
They really are.
God, I love professional cheerleading so much.
Oh, I'll watch it all day.
Oh, I love those people are incredible.
Jerry on Cheer, I'm still not over it because I loved that show so much and I had to stop watching it. I just wanted him to make Matt so bad.
Run a business and not thinking about podcasting? Think again. More Americans listen to podcasts than ad-supported streaming music from Spotify and Pandora. And as the number one podcaster, iHeart's twice as large as the next two combined. So whatever your customers are into, true crime, sports, comedy, culture, they'll hear your message. Plus, only iHeart can extend your message to audiences across broadcast radio. And all this reach means everything. Just think about the universal marketing formula. The number of consumers who hear your message times the response rate equals the results. Now let's get those results growing for you. Think podcasting can help your business? Think iHeart. Streaming, radio, and podcasting. Let us show you at iHeartAdvertising.com. That's iHeartAdvertising.com. Or call 844-844-IHEART. One more time, call 844-844-IHEART and get podcasting working for you.
Kenneth, who's Daisy's favorite because he also lost his mom young and that's all she cares about.
That's all I care about.
He's ready for this and he says he's only 25, which I usually cringe at. But from last season, we know Milton proved us all wrong because he was the most mature one out of all of them.
Right. And we'll find out later, too, that like 25 for Kenneth is not the same as 25 for most people.
If anyone has a mom that they lost young, are you instantly their friend? Do you instantly like them?
No.
Okay.
So then we meet Jessica, not to be confused with Jessica. Jessica's a single mom. She is the first single mom that we have, as far as we know, that we've had on Love is Blind.
We met her in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter's name is Autumn, and she's already crying. She is crying 1 minute into the program.
Yeah.
1 minute in. We have tears. We have blotting.
A lot of blotting.
Not wanting to mess up the makeup. And then mid-breakdown, Vanessa Lachey, who has absolutely, when she enters a room, she goes blind, so she can't read it. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm sorry, don't be ableist. I can't read a room because I can't see, so I can't read the room.
Right.
She catches her mid-cry, and she's like, so are you going to tell the guys that you have a child?
She has no chill.
Can you let this girl finish her breakdown, let her pop a Lexapro, maybe a CBD gummy, before you jump down her throat, you fucking exhausting banana?
Yeah, yeah. She's probably got the producers in her ear like, okay, ask her right this second. Or they're like, just wait for her to stop crying and then ask her. And she's like, ask her, got it. Jessica says she's going to wait to tell the guys that she's a mom, which I think is an interesting choice. I get it, but I also feel like Monty is such a huge part of my life that it would be hard for me to...
Who's that?
Oh, I have a son. His name is Monty. He's 10. Yeah.
You've literally never mentioned that. Not even... not even one... Maybe one time, like in passing.
Really? That's weird. I thought I mentioned him a lot.
I mean, we have two seasons of a podcast. You can go back and prove me wrong, but like I've never even...
Okay.
It's Monty with an M?
Yeah, it's not Nanti. It's Monty.
Okay. Is he cool?
Oh, he's the coolest.
Okay. Yeah. Show me a picture one day or whatever.
He's a ginger.
Oh, God. They're almost extinct.
Okay.
Yes, we will talk more about Jessica and those choices because I really do see both sides to this decision. And I feel like it's sort of
same.
It's really personal. And it's interesting.
It's not that I fault her for the decision. It's that it's weird to think that you can talk a lot about yourself and your life without that coming up because it is such a huge part of like your day to day and your life and your past. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. I also have a child. I have a child.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
It's almost like not disclosing that you're bisexual.
Whoa! Zing! Do you think Carlton is on the five?
Yeah, he's definitely a patron, for sure.
Then Nick Lachey takes an ample amount of time to explain the show like it's fucking 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up. We know what the show is.
Shut the fuck
and
up.
And then he says, your favorite line, Daisy. He says that this is going to be the most important decision of their life. Now, we're not including your future, your education, your financial stability, your decisions about politics, your decisions about your own health, your decisions about how you want to live your life. Nope. The decision about whose morning breath you want to wake up next to for the rest of your life is the most important decision you will ever make.
Right.
Because remember, Daisy, we learned this last season, you can't go back.
Right. Divorce is not legal.
Not in this show.
Once a woman marries a man, she's now his property till the end of time. Oh. So the pods are now open. We start off with Austin, 26. We met him in the intro. He is probably a craft micro beer brewer. He's like originally probably from Ohio, but he lived in Brooklyn for a while. And now he moved to North Carolina because he just needed like the slower pace and the country life.
And he bought an exorbitant amount of plaid shirts. And so he decided to make that his entire identity. Good for you. Listen, when you find a sale.
Yeah. Mousse. A lot of hair mousse. Volumizing mousse. He bought a lot of that too. Oh, wait. Yeah. He's the one with the crazy ass fucking pompadour, right?
Yep.
We learn that Vince does not do laundry.
That is evident because he is not wearing socks.
Ew.
Don't do laundry. Peep down at my feet. I haven't worn socks since the early aughts.
That's a bold thing to say right out of the gate. Because basically what you're saying is you will be doing my laundry for me if we get married.
Yeah, I read through the lines for that one, for sure.
You know what? Good for you for putting it out there straight away.
Then we get a little montage of people talking and giggling. What are you looking for? Do you want kids? Trevor mentions his muscles again. We get it. You have muscles.
He says that people judge him because of his muscles and his mullet.
Muscles and a mullet, baby. Every day is 1982 in Trevor's world. Do you know every day Trevor wakes up, he has a clock radio because he's living in 1982 and it's like,
rising up.
Oh my God.
Back on the street. Not my terror.
That's
every
exactly,
day.
Exactly the song.
Mm-hmm. He's like brushing his teeth.
It's the eye of the tiger.
That's what Trevor does. Trevor's excited because he's not a meathead. He wants people to see his sense of humor and his hort.
He's good horted.
He's got a lot of hort.
He's good horted. You know, not everybody with a mullet and muscles is bad horted.
I know a lot of awful people with mullets. A lot. 60 or 70.
Mullet and Chelsea meet. Mullet's dog's name is Chelsea, so that's a fun time. Moving on. She says, Mullet, what makes you smile? And Mullet says, I like dog. I like sunshine. I like butterfly. I like love movies like Notebook and A Walk to Remember. And I like a fresh cut lawn.
Is this a list of all the dumbest things you can think of off the top of your head?
It's a list of what I think women want me to like.
It is straight up a greeting card from Dollar Tree. No one is like, oh my God, look at that fresh cut lawn. You know, that's one of my favorite things of all time. Now that lawn over there, that's my favorite. It's my favorite.
There's like peace. There's vanilla soft serve from Carvel with rainbow sprinkles. But that fresh cut lawn. Ellen, what are five things that make you smile?
Five things that make me smile? Fucking silence. Getting out of my face. Leaving me alone. Not being in traffic. Somebody merging correctly.
Yeah.
Somebody being polite. Someone holding the door. My kid listening to me.
I would watch that show, Ellen. I would watch a show where somebody comes. They're just like, you know what? We're not doing this. I'll tell you what makes me smile. Shut the fuck up. A fucking loomy gummy and I'm going to bed. Okay? Next.
You know what fucking makes me smile? Let me tell you what makes me smile.
Everybody shutting the fuck up. Everybody, if everybody shut the fuck up, I will fucking crack a smile.
Oh, I will smile. You have never seen a smile like this.
What's up with her? I don't know. Everyone shut the fuck up. And she just smiled. She didn't stop.
She just
great.
Suddenly was like, Chelsea says that her five favorite things are sunset and the Coors Light.
Chelsea is ready to find her person. That's the second time someone has said that in the show. Just don't think I'm not keeping track. She's even gone to Home Depot to find a man. Have you seen the people at Home Depot?
Have you seen them?
They're very painty.
They are very painty. Mm-hmm.
It's those people that they can never wash the paint off their... They're just painty for the rest of their life.
Yeah, they're very painty. They're also... They have a light coating of like sawdust or like drywall dust, you know?
If you go to the guys at Home Depot, you're like, where do I find the light bulb? Third aisle.
They're missing most of their fingers.
Yeah. What happened? Oh, nothing. I got a new buzz saw puzzle wrencher thing.
Yeah. Or you might find like some really hot women looking to buy some shelving.
I was going to say, lesbians. Did you see the Mean Gays video? You know the Mean Gays on TikTok?
Well, I know them now because of you.
They did this video where they had a lesbian come over to hang out. And they were like, oh, hey, weird this faucet just keeps on running. They just have her go around fixing everything. Oh my God, that's so weird. You came over and my smoke alarm just started beeping. Do you have any batteries? It's so funny.
That's pretty great. I really like that. Hanging shelves and processing your feelings. So then we meet Jimmy.
Also not wearing socks.
Ugh. He's from a very small town. He wants to travel. Chelsea seems super jazzed about that. He wants to visit all of the baseball and football stadiums in the country, which is a thing people do. I didn't know that that was something people do.
I'm not a hating on sports kind of person. I grew up in a very sports family. And baseball fields can be really cool because they're all sort of built differently. He wanted to visit all the NFL, MLB, and NBA places. But my question is, if you're going to a basketball court
that doubles as like a concert venue.
Yeah. So there's the hoop and there's the seats, same as Sacramento, but on we go to Chicago.
Yeah.
It's an arena. It's just a basketball court. They all look the same.
They all look exactly the same. But the MLB ones I get. And also the food at baseball games is always very
expensive.
Different. Very expensive. And you know what I found in my travels through the world? Giants fans are the worst.
Oh, really? Wait, Giants baseball or football?
Baseball.
Oh, so that was a... like a joke of where I'm from?
Listen, it just happens to be that that's where you're from.
Okay.
But I have never met ruder baseball fans than I did at Giant Stadium.
Joke's on you. We're A's fans.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, okay. Good. All right.
Also, the 49ers just lost, and my brother is devastated.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My brother lives in 49ers clothes. I think he owns stock. He was actually thinking of spending $10,000 to go get like a nosebleed seat.
Next time he's thinking that, tell him to Venmo me instead.
He doesn't have kids. Oh. People without kids can do shit like that.
Yeah. So now we're on a date with Jessica and Jimmy.
What do you think about Jimmy, first of all?
I don't know. He seems kind of white bread a little bit. Like, I don't have much of an opinion of him quite yet.
Okay, because at first glance, he looks like he buys roofies in bulk.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's going to stick, and I'm just sort of projecting.
I know what you mean. I will say that he told Chelsea that he wants to travel a lot. He can't wait to travel. And then on his date with Jessica, she says she's a homebody, and now he's like, oh, yeah, I love being at home. I love, you know, maybe we go to a bar, try a new cocktail bar. We have dinner and drinks and we're back in bed by 9:30. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, interesting. You wanted to travel on your last date, but that's when you had a date with the flight attendant, you were excited to travel. Jimmy tells Jessica that he likes her voice.
Mm-hmm.
She laughs a lot, and he talks about her laugh, and she says, you know I like you when I give you pity laughs.
What is a pity laugh?
What?
And why would you want it?
Yeah, I would never, like, if Kurt tells a joke that deserves a pity laugh, I just look at him and I'm like, don't ever
speak.
Ever do that again.
Don't speak.
Yeah.
Don't try and be funny. In fact, actually go and rest your brain and don't say anything for 24 4 hours and come back, workshop it, and bring it back to me again.
Right. The only time I use a pity laugh would be like when I was at a bar, like trying to get free drinks from idiot men. And I'd be like, but it's odd to be like, if I pity laugh at you, that's when I really like you.
That means love. Jimmy is optimistic mm-hmm. that his wife is here in these pods, and Jessica is not even remotely scared mm-hmm. that her wedding could be 4 weeks away. I am scared for you.
Yeah, I'm scared for everybody.
That is part of the reason why we love this show, because it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Jimmy says that he likes how forward Jessica is, and she's like, forward? And I think he just means that she can have a conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, you can talk.
The bar is in hell. She says she feels good about him. They have talked about nothing.
Nothing.
They have accomplished nothing but mm-hmm. small talk, mm-hmm. giggling. Everybody pumped the brakes. She's doing the flag thing in that movie with Nicole Kidman. And when they do the flag.
Days of Thunder?
No, it's when they were going to get the land and they put the flag. When you claim your land, when we took it away from the Native American. Yeah. And this is going nowhere.
Land grabbing. Whatever. Stake your claim.
She's laying her claim. There you go. And right after we go to the next scene, Jessica has her little confessional about how she wants this so bad for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she cries again.
Yeah.
That makes two. I am a crier. I absolutely get it. I am an mm-hmm. emotional person. Girl, I get it. Rein it the fuck in when you're on national TV.
Yeah.
They are going to edit this within an inch of their life because we're 7 minutes in and you have leaked out of your face twice.
And I am also all for expressing your feelings and having your feelings and crying as much as you need to, generally speaking. I don't cry that much anymore. It's just because of my medication. But like, that's not the first quality I would look for in a person. It's like they cry every time they talk about their lives, you know?
Do you classify me as a crier? Would you be like, oh, Ellen, she's a crier?
No.
I do cry a lot.
Not in front of me, you don't.
Well, it's because you hurt me a lot. And I cry when you leave because I'm scared of you.
That makes more sense. Maybe that's why nobody ever cries around me.
Run a business and not thinking about podcasting? Think again. More Americans listen to podcasts than ad-supported streaming music from Spotify and Pandora. And as the number one podcaster, iHeart's twice as large as the next two combined. So whatever your customers are into, true crime, sports, comedy, culture, they'll hear your message. Plus, only iHeart can extend your message to audiences across broadcast radio. And all this reach means everything. Just think about the universal marketing formula. The number of consumers who hear your message times the response rate equals the results. Now let's get those results growing for you. Think podcasting can help your business? Think iHeart. Streaming, radio, and podcasting. Let us show you at iHeartAdvertising.com. That's iHeartAdvertising.com. Or call 844-844-IHEART. One more time, call 844-844-IHEART and get podcasting working for you.
So now we meet Matthew. Matthew is a financial advisor. He's 36. He is having a date with Jessica, and he says he has 15 questions. And if you can, you give me a number, and I'll read you that question. So she says whatever number, and he says,
what is something you think you excel at in relationships?
My loyalty and devotion to my partner. What about you?
You know, I was just going to ask the questions. I wasn't really anticipating getting the same one back.
Oh, my God.
Yep, just dude talking to the wall.
So then we get Matthew in a confessional, and he says this is incredibly hard. Having conversations about emotions is not something I excel at, which we're also going to learn is a bit of an understatement. So now Matthew is having a date with Sarah Ann. She says, how's everything going today? And he says, I don't know. We'll keep that close to the vest. I have 15 questions for you.
Your choices were, you could say, fine, tired, hungry, excited, nervous.
A book of adjectives.
Gassy. But you chose to say, I'm going to keep it close to the vest. It was as if she said, list your traumas.
Matthew, are you okay? Here's the thing, Matthew. We're on a show, okay, where it's very important that you talk so that you can get to know the person and they can get to know you. Because the thing is so they can't see. So the conceit of the show, Matthew, is that they can't see you. Not that that's necessarily like that would be a plus in your column anyway. But in this instance, they can't see you. And so you're going to want to have any personality at all, any kind. Like, you could be a mean, horrible meanie, but just have that personality.
Yeah, this sounds like the perfect show for me. Thank you. Sign me up.
How are you? How's it going today? She didn't even say, how are you? How's everything going today? Oh, I'm not going to answer that one.
Not gonna give that information out freely. I don't know who you are. Who are you, the FBI?
Yikes. So he says, I have the 15 questions for you. She picks number 12. He says, what are your short-term goals? She says, finding love. She says she likes this opportunity because you can meet people without them judging you. Now listen, just because they don't see you doesn't mean they're not judging you. This whole thing of like, oh, they can't judge me. Yes, they can. They are all judged. They're not judging your face or your body or your clothes or your breath. They're judging your personality, which is actually more important, right? Right. So as she's elaborating on finding love as a short-term goal, what does Matthew do?
First of all, Daisy, how long would you estimate that this woman was talking?
30 seconds?
I'm going to say about 22 to 24. And he was so exasperated by her yammering that he walks out.
He walks out.
Doesn't say goodbye. Matthew is on the wrong fucking show.
Wrong show, Matthew. So this is, what, 2 for 2 now he's walked out, right? He walked out on Jessica. Not saying goodbye.
Hello? She just goes, hello? Hello? And she's relieved. She's like, fucking guy.
So then we get him in confessional again, and he says even the word love makes him nervous. Do you think he got punked? Like, do you think somebody drugged him and blindfolded him and just dropped him off at the hangar where they were shooting and was like, go?
Yeah, he thought he was going to be on, like, The Price is Right or something. He's like, I knew it was a game show, but...
Yeah. He's like, I'd like to buy a vowel. Yeah.
It is so uncomfortable. It's unbelievable, actually.
Yes, it is gobsmacking. So now he's on a date with AD. She's the cheerleader. My first impression of AD is that those eyelashes are too much. The eyelashes are too much.
Heavy.
It looks like the fringe on the bottom of a scarf.
It looks like the underbelly of a possum.
Correct. So Amber picks number 4, and he says,
oh my God.
This one has been picked a few times, so try to be interesting with your answer.
Oh, my stars.
Matthew, what happened to you?
It feels fake.
So then he tells us in confessional that, you know, Superman starts off cold too.
Sir.
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 Take a seat.
Take all of them.
All of them.
Fold them up if you need to. Yeah. I don't get those ones the old ladies bring to Six Flags. Then he says,
maybe first interactions isn't my strong suit.
I don't know what Matthew's strong suit is. We haven't seen it.
No.
He's not even wearing a strong suit.
No.
He is barely wearing a nice pair of pants.
Correct. AD asks him, what are you looking for? And he goes, right off the bat, eh? Yeah, we don't have a lot of time. Like, we gotta get to know each other. Like, this is... Yep. Right off the bat, he says, you know, I don't want to be a C-list celebrity, and that he's the king. He tells AD that he is the king of first impressions. I hope that he is being facetious. And then he finally opens up about growing up in a small town, and he says, give me some time and maybe I can win you over or somebody else.
It's as if on his way, while he was blindfolded, he was listening to an audiobook of everything not to say ever.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the book is titled, Most Certainly Not on a First Date.
Right.
And then especially a date that will be televised for a gajillion people.
I think he did read that book. It was an audiobook, obviously, because he was blindfolded.
When he was going to the hangar because he didn't know where he was going. It's shocking how inappropriate and...
Bizarre.
Perfect word. Yes, bizarre.
You sort of wonder, like, is there like a developmental issue going on? Like, is there something going on that we don't know about? AD is super sweet and super patient, and she gives him time. And I fell in love with her in this scene. She tells him that she feels like they're opposites, but that he's a great guy.
Is he?
She says, you're a little weird at first, but you know, once you open up, you're great. He says he feels awkward for talk. He says, I feel like I talk too much. And she goes, you did. Yeah. Congratulations. And he says, I feel awkward about it. And she goes, welcome to the party. And I love that. She's like, honey, we're all fucking nervous and awkward and we say too much. And I loved that. Mm-hmm. I really loved that. You know, I think every other woman on that show would have been like, no, you're not awkward. What are you talking about? And she was just like, yeah, bro, that's called being a human. So then he tells her that she's incredibly sweet, which was a shocker, mm-hmm. you know, based on what we know of him so far. She tells us that he is the opposite of what she's used to. She's used to dating players. She's used to dating ladies' men. She says, if I see a red flag, I paint my nails to match, which I'd never heard that before. I loved it.
So then AD is sitting with 30-year-old Clay, who's in tech sales, and they're talking about their dating past, you know, being on apps. Now, I have been on dating apps, and dating apps are like being stuck in traffic on your way to the DMV. Your mm-hmm. radio is broken. And it's stuck mm-hmm. playing that Christmas Shoes song on a loop. It is a torture you willingly sign yourself up for.
Yeah. What is the Christmas Shoes song?
Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while. And I know these shoes will make her smile. And I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
It's the worst song.
Is it a country song?
It is a country song.
Ugh. Okay.
The thing about apps is there is absolutely no incentive to function mm-hmm. beyond the bare minimum at any time.
The last time I was on a dating app, I had gotten so frustrated with the process. My do's and don'ts, basically, whatever that is, what are you looking for, whatever, was pretty extensive. And it was just like, here's what I'm not here for. I'm not here for this. I'm not here for that. I'm not going to do this. I was like, look, you might as well know this shit up front so we can get it out of the way. This dude messaged me and said, you have an overdeveloped sense of your MFV. Do you know what that is?
Your motherfucking vagina?
Market fuckability value.
You are very fuckable, ma'am.
He said, you have an overdeveloped sense of your market fuckability value.
I am gagged because you said what you want and what you will and won't put up with. How dare you, though? Honestly, though, that does take a big amount of audacity when you walk around this earth with a vagina.
I know.
You get what you get and you don't get upset.
That's true.
What's your problem? I side with him.
Unless I'm mistaken. You know, I think the end of that sentence was given what you look like.
I can't. I'm sorry, Daisy.
Oh, I was like, I'm doing fine, thank you. And he's like, yeah, good luck with your cats. Sick burn, brah.
Just so happens I have a ginger kid, apparently, who's 10, I guess.
One guy thought I had fuckability value that one time.
I've had sex twice, motherfucker.
Whew, all right.
I want to know if you heard the red flag that Clay dropped.
No, although I did write down that I think she starts to get worried that he's a player. What did he say?
He is such a fuckboy.
Yeah.
He says he likes cats uh-huh. because you don't need to give them a lot of attention and they'll still stick around.
Oh, my God.
Girl, get out. I'm not really a waitress. Let's go. That's the prettiest OPI red color, honey. And then he starts talking about how sensual he is and how ready he is to settle down. Okay.
Please. He says he doesn't want to age. He's 27?
No, because remember he said he was trying to stay at 29?
Oh, right. He was 30. And he said, I'd been trying to hold on to 29 as long as I can. And she was like, why? And he says, you know, because I don't want to get old. I don't want to age. And she says, oh, it's only up from here. I love her so much. He says that he was doubting himself in this process and he was worried about winning people over with just his personality. Immediately, I was like, oh, he's trying to let her know that he's good looking. And it's so obvious and blatant. And she's like, okay.
Because he said, how can someone fall in love with me if they don't see this? And then he did penis origami right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he did the puppetry of the penis.
Netflix is really trying to get up in the ratings. I don't know. I was getting Player vibes from the very beginning, weren't you?
Yes, absolutely. And I think at first, like, she seemed like, oh, okay, Clay. And, you know, and then I think you could just see it on her face at one point. She was just like, you know.
Totally.
Woof.
He is hot.
Yeah.
He is a player. He has a jersey. Yeah. He has the jumpsuit. He has the duffel bag.
Yeah.
For the team, whatever the team is.
That was day one. That was all the dates in day one. I'm exhausted. I can only imagine how they feel. So we're in the quarters, you know, sort of debriefing about everybody's dates. And we find out that both Dion and Mullet like Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica really likes Jimmy.
Jimmy's on a lot of women's lips.
Yes.
It's sort of like a little Jimmy, hubbub, hubbub, Jimmy, hubbub, Jimmy.
Jimmy, 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 watermelon, watermelon, Jimmy, Jimmy. AD tells the girls that she did well with Matthew and they're all like, what?
Everyone is gagged. All the women were like, you got words from him?
What?
Matthew in the men's quarters isn't talking to anyone.
No, he doesn't speak.
He is by himself reading Tolstoy.
He's reading his notes from his dates, but he's reading them as if it is Tolstoy. He's reading his notes like like he's running the stats in his mind. It's really interesting.
He's cross-referencing. Daisy, he might be a serial killer.
I think so.
And so everyone is cheersing to the good night. They've got the gold chalices. Mm-hmm. The women cheers. Yay. The men cheers. Yay. Matthew is not part of the cheers.
He's off in the kitchen.
It is all the men and Matthew planning on where he's going to sew the skin suits.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is not a part of it, doesn't want to be a part of it, but also he's being creepy about
it. Yeah. I mean, look. You know, who knows how much of that is editing, but, you know, he's just sort of hulky and just kind of there and weird. And I don't know at this point if he's aware of how weird he is or what, but something is strange.
He's going to kill everyone, but go ahead.
So it's the next day. It's the morning. What is the first thing that we see?
Bacon.
Bacon.
Bacon's ready. If we learned anything from season 5.
Not just bagels.
Bacon. There's going to be food. There's bacon. There's egg. There's bacon. Say eggs again. There's eggs. There's bacon. Yeah. Eggs. There's fruit. Someone say fruit. They're not getting any lawsuits this year. Fuck no. Netflix said nah.
Run a business and not thinking about radio? Think again. Because more people are listening to the radio on iHeart today than they were 20 years ago. And only iHeart Broadcast Radio connects with more Americans than TV, digital, social, any other media. Even twice as many teens than TikTok. And that reach means everything. Just think about the universal marketing formula. The number of consumers who hear your message times the response rate equals the results. Now let's get those results growing for your business. Radio's here now more than ever, and iHeart's leading the way. Think radio can help your business? Think iHeart. Streaming, podcasting, and radio, where the reach is real. Let us show you at iHeartAdvertising.com. That's iHeartAdvertising.com. Or call 844-844-IHEART. One more time, just call 844-844-IHEART and get radio working for you.
Everyone is eating so much food, and a couple of the women are chatting. They say, one of them says, I am done with potential. I want you to come fully potenched. Have you seen that video?
No.
I didn't know that potenched was like a thing in the zeitgeist until I heard her, because I'd already seen this.
I don't need potential at this big age. Please come already potenched.
It comes from Brittany, and Brittany is 24. Girl, are you exhausted from the 8 years you've been dating? 6 years you've been dating? You're exhausted? You need the men to come fully formed to your 24-year-old ass? Come on. You don't have a crow's foot in sight. So it's day two in the pods.
Mm-hmm.
Amy is with Johnny for their second date.
Mm-hmm.
They both want to go to Japan. Amy says she loves Barcelona.
Uh-huh.
And Johnny says the way she said Barcelona melted his heart.
Yeah, he likes her accent. They are bonding over their love of Japanese culture. It's very cute. They have had a very different upbringings. He's from a very big family. She was an only child. She had no friends growing up. She said she had so few friends that her dad would beg people to go to her birthday parties at church.
I know. She's so sweet.
I know. I really like her.
I really like her too.
She said one day when she was like 7, she said she went outside and she prayed to God for a brother. And she said she didn't want a sister because the sister would steal her clothes. She really wanted a brother. And that night, her mother found out she was pregnant. She calls him her angel brother or her something like that.
Rainbow angel? Mm. Angel with wings. It's
my star brother.
The when you wish upon a brother makes right. No difference.
My Jiminy Cricket brother. So these two are totally vibing. She said she's felt like an outsider her whole life. It's sweet. There's something about him that's giving me the ick, and I really can't place my finger on it. But so now we're back on a date with Clay and AD, and they're having a flirty pajama date.
They are flirting, honey. They are giggling and flirting mm-hmm. and vibing and vibing and cuddling and flirting.
Yeah, you give me your flirty voice. Oh, you want to have my flirty voice? Here's my what are you wearing?
Daisy, don't do that. Don't do that. Sorry. That sounds awful and scary.
Did I give you a lady woody?
No, that makes me want to call the police and have you looked at.
She tells us in confessional that she is worried that he's a ladies man, but she's intrigued. And I just want to go hug her and be like, don't do it.
But then AD immediately is back with Matthew. AD is the Matthew whisperer because he is a tough nut to crack. And she's into it. She's up for the challenge.
It's very interesting. And he is the polar opposite of Clay. I mean, he could not be more different from Clay. And she tells him that she's protective of him. She says that when she's not in the pods, like, she hopes that whoever he's in the pod with is treating him right. And I just thought that was so sweet.
I feel like she's probably heard what the women have said back in the quarters and said, oh, he's so weird. He was. He was abrasive and he was a little rude. Mm-hmm. And whether or not that stemmed from insecurity or him feeling weird or him not even knowing he was going to be on the show because of that whole helicopter incident, whatever it was, she knows that he's not making a good first impression. So I feel like that's sort of where it stemmed from. It's cute nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. So then she asks him what his favorite music is. He says he likes rock and instrumental. And she says she likes hip hop and R&B and 80s rock. She asks him if he has rhythm. And he says, yeah, I've got rhythm. More than you would expect. And she goes, I don't expect a lot.
And he goes, no, I used to get into a lot of dance-offs. What? Where are you dancing? The priest store? Where are these?
In my basement by myself.
And also, who's just getting into dance-offs? Be like, yo, break it down. 5, 6, 7, 8. Not bad. Like, who are you dancing off with in your population town of 600, Matthew, if that is your real name?
Really fair.
He has got bodies under his stairs, I am
telling
you.
He absolutely does.
He's like, yeah, I danced so hard once, I tore a hamstring. And then AD goes, what's your irrational fear? My irrational fear is birds pecking my brains out.
I literally wrote, she has an irrational fear that birds will peck her brains out. I love her.
What's your irrational fear?
I don't feel like any of my fears are irrational. I feel like they're all pretty rational. I sometimes get very, very worried that Monty's going to grow up to be a proud boy.
Okay.
You know?
That's irrational, yeah.
What is your irrational fear, Ellen?
Rats coming up the toilet and biting my bum. Rats coming up and being like, oh, juicy bum. Like that.
Did you ever see the movie, I think it was called House? It was from the 80s. It was like a bad horror movie.
I don't like horror movies.
You don't like horror boobies?
I don't like horror poopies, boobies, or movies.
In that movie, I saw it when I was very young. There was a hand in a toilet, just a disembodied hand. And if you sat down on the toilet, the hand would come up and grab you. And for years, I had to tell myself, no, the hand that's in the toilet right now is the poop hand and I'm just peeing, so it's okay. Or no, the hand in the toilet is the pee hand and I'm just pooping.
So Matthew says to AD, that she makes him nervous and comfortable at the same time, and he wants to make it clear he doesn't say that to other people. He has not said that to anyone else in the experiment. I believe at this moment, because he doesn't say anything to anyone.
Absolutely. Why would I think you've said it to anybody else? As far as I know, you don't open your, you don't even stay in the room long enough to say anything. But she says that's the perfect way to say it, that I feel nervous but comfortable. She's like, that's great. So we're back in the women's quarters. Jessica tells the women that she likes Jimmy.
She does not cry in this scene. Yeah. I want to give her props. I want to give credit where credit is due.
She's like, hey, Amber, guess what? I love, I really like Jimmy. We had a really good date. Are you okay?
And then when Jessica is telling everyone that Jimmy is her number one, she really connected with Jimmy, someone asks if Jessica has talked to her daughter, and she cries again.
Jessica, what is happening, girl? I don't think you need to find a man. I think you need therapy.
Or medication, or just a Lumi gummy.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by, no, I'm just kidding. I just love it. But she basically says she knows it's getting to the point now with Jimmy where she needs to tell Jimmy about Autumn.
Yeah.
Today is the day.
We go on their date. They're having a hot wings challenge. Neither of them can really handle the heat, and they have a big laugh over his nose blowing, which I actually did not think was that bad. My sister has a dairy allergy, and I mean, she blows her nose and like all the ships from the sea come docking, you know?
And they start to get a little deeper. Jimmy talks about being insecure growing up because he grew up poor. Jessica is like, oh, wait till you get my story. Me too. And she says, I can just feel you're a good person. Babe, the amount of times I have been tricked. She's setting up the stage to tell Jimmy about her daughter. And she just comes out and says it.
She does. She says, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and there's a big dramatic reality TV Netflix pause. And then he says, why didn't we talk about that earlier? And she said she didn't want to lead with it. She wants to be known for herself first and then as a mom. And then there's, you know, a more of a silence. Dun, dun, dun. What's going to happen? And he says, that's not a deal breaker. That's okay.
He takes a lot of time to think, and I think that he should, because I have dated with being a single mom. I think it's a very big deal. I hope she goes on with the experiment just because I actually want to see what happens, because agreeing to date someone who has a child is stepping into a situation where you know and you acknowledge and you understand that their child is going to be their first priority.
Right.
And you need to adjust accordingly.
Right.
Because if you ever thought you were busy, wait till you get a peek at the life of a fucking single parent.
And you also better hope that they have a good relationship with the with the other parent if they're still alive.
That is so huge.
Yeah. And it can't be an issue.
It affects so many things in your life, even when you have the best of intentions and you are really excited about a relationship or hanging out with somebody and you have every intention of spending time and being with that person is still caring for another human being, and things are going to inevitably come up. Surprises, plans will be canceled. Someone's going to get sick. Someone's going to puke. So I'm not mad at his trepidation.
No.
I think he's being very level-headed and fair in his response.
I mean, I would even say that I think it would be completely okay for him to say, can I process that information and can we talk about this tomorrow? That's a huge thing. And I think that shouldn't be a big deal if he needed time to think about it.
I agree. Do you think she should have told him sooner? Because I do see both sides. I see her saying, I am a separate human being.
Right.
I want you to get to know me. And then I want you to understand this part of my life, because we're moms, and that's not our identifying part of our personality. We are many things, and women and men can be many things besides being a parent. But do you think she did the right thing?
I really am. I don't know.
It's really hard.
It is hard.
You don't want to seem like you're keeping something.
Right.
That's why he said, why did it take this long? But then again, I'm Jessica. I'm not Autumn's mom.
Right.
But if you do agree to a life with me, you're signing up for the package deal no matter what.
I guess I also just sort of feel like there's a little aspect of like, here's a yummy chocolate milkshake. It's good, isn't it? It's really good, isn't it? It has spinach in it, but it's really good. You know what I mean? Like,
I see both sides. I really do.
Same, same. He asks about the relationship with the father, which is great. She said she got pregnant senior year with a guy that she'd known for years. They'd sort of been on and off and they co-parent. She was like, I didn't sleep around. Don't worry. I didn't sleep around. Thank God for that.
She's probably heard that though.
Yeah, I know. Ugh,
that's gross. Probably a knee-jerk trauma response.
Ugh, that's so awful.
Of people being 18, really?
Right.
I felt that defensiveness came from somewhere.
And you know the only way that you can get pregnant at 18 is if you're sleeping with the entire football team.
That's why she explained it.
That's just a scientific fact.
You only get pregnant every 15 people you have sex with.
Right.
So even if you wanted to get pregnant, you'd have to go through 15 minimum. I mean, it could be 20, but like it's like that's science.
Right. And also there needs to be enough in there.
Ew! Daisy, don't say
ew, I couldn't even say it.
So gross. Just say.
I know, it's so gross. Ew, yucky.
Just say.
No. Oh. Anyway, one thought I had is like, you get a built-in babysitter. It's kind of great.
I don't think that's why you would want to get married, Daisy, but we can talk about that off mic.
No, I mean,
is that
no, I'm saying if she has a 10-year-old daughter, then by the time they have kids, they'll have a built-in babysitter.
Did you study that when you watched the entire series of the Duggars?
Yeah.
They all watch the younger kids. Yeah. That sounds like a fun life.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay them. It's great.
Jesus Christ, Daisy, you are going to get canceled and I will lead the charge.
Bring it on. I can't wait. So now we're on a date with Chelsea and Jimmy, and he tells her that he is proud to have gone to college. He is the first generation on both sides of his family to have gone to college. I think he really grew up very poor. And then Chelsea says that she didn't go to school. At first, they stay on him, and he's a little bit shocked, and he mouths, "What?" But then she goes on to explain that she's been to a lot of trade schools. She's been to flight attendant school and event planning school and makeup school and AC repair school and carburetor school and yoga school and house painting school. She also tells him that she was married. She says, I was 18. We were high school sweethearts. We were married for 5 years and he wasn't her person. And Jimmy, again, I think, responds perfectly well. He says, he's like, okay, like he'd just gotten the bombshell about Jessica being a single mom, and now he's getting the bombshell that his other woman that he's interested in was married, and he just sort of goes like, oh, today's been a lot of information. Chelsea just goes from 0 to 100, and she's like, you know what? You know what? Fine. Forget it. Forget I said anything. I thought you didn't think it well, but clearly you're not thinking it well. So I'm going to put on my plastic shoes and I'm just going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here. And he's like, what? Wait, what?
It was so overwhelming. Just, where's that bacon? I think Chelsea's hungry.
And he keeps trying to say, like, no, I'm not, it's not scaring me off. I'm just.
Chelsea, babe, you are doing too much. Did she kill someone? Did she try to kill someone? Does she have debt? What's happening? It's a divorce. Who cares?
Who cares? This is giving Carlton, being like, I'm bisexual. How dare you not love me? Give me half a second.
He honestly just took half a second to breathe and absorb and listen and act accordingly.
Yeah. And so she goes back to the quarters and they're like, babe, what happened? My queen, my babe, my queen. And she's like, I just told him about the divorce. And he and they're like, what? What did he have? What was his reaction? And she's like, I don't even know.
I think it was there that she realized she really shit the bed. Made it. I don't actually think that.
Hold on. Oh, you know what? I think he literally just took a breath.
I think his mic went out for a second. I think I just didn't.
Oh,
I think.
Well, I'm going to have to fix that.
Can someone call Jimmy?
Jimmy, listen. I went back to the quarters. I had some bacon.
I talked to the queens.
I feel better. I talked to my she queens.
You are a fucking she queen. You go back there, queen, and you tell him
that. Listen to me. You are a she queen, she boss.
You are a she boss, She queen, you she bop, she bop a wee bop, me bop a wee bop. In the words of Cindy Lauper, go back there and tell him I'm a divorced fucking queen. No, but he didn't react badly. Take me or leave me. No, he didn't act badly. You better accept me for who? No, he accepted me for.
No, I accept you.
No, you gotta listen.
I'm listening.
I am a she prince. No, I'm.
Yes, you're prince.
I am a she queen.
You're a queen. I'm listening. I hear you.
You want to. Do you want this?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would love that.
Run a business and not thinking about podcasting? Think again. More Americans listen to podcasts than ad-supported streaming music from Spotify and Pandora. And as the number one podcaster, iHeart's twice as large as the next two combined. So whatever your customers are into, true crime, sports, comedy, culture, they'll hear your message. Plus, only iHeart can extend your message to audiences across broadcast radio. And all this reach means everything. Just think about the universal marketing formula. The number of consumers who hear your message times the response rate equals the results. Now let's get those results growing for you. Think podcasting can help your business? Think iHeart. Streaming, radio, and podcasting. Let us show you at iHeartAdvertising.com. That's iHeartAdvertising.com. Or call 844-844-IHEART. One more time, call 844-844-IHEART and get podcasting working for you.
Chelsea has clearly had a bagel and a piece of bacon. She's calmed down.
Bacon.
She is on a date with Mullet. And you know what? They just want to have fun. They just want to have a good time, lighthearted good time. They're playing some love games or whatever Netflix provided them with. One of the questions that comes out of this love game is, have you ever told someone you love them even if you didn't? And Mullet says, yeah, you know, sometimes you're with somebody and especially when you're young and you think you're in love with them and then it ends and you meet somebody else and you're like, oh, this is actually what love is, which I completely relate to. But he tells her that he almost got married when he was younger. And then she tells him that she was married and then nothing happens.
Now, we talked about this because I feel like she intentionally took a different approach.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Because she said, oh, yeah, I told you that, right? Like on our first date. And he goes, oh, wait, did you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was married for 5 years. And he's like, no, you didn't tell me that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mentioned it in passing. And I thought to myself, you just thought you shit the bed with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to take a different approach with Trevor, mm-hmm. gaslight him into making him think he forgot a piece of information that you gave him.
Yep.
I think she totally just decided to re-steer the ship and go due west and just run with it.
I'm on board that train. So now we're on a date with Amy and Johnny. And Johnny wrote a song for her. And let me tell you, it's not good. It's bad.
It makes Zach's song To Bliss sound like yes. Beethoven.
It's like, da-na-na-na-na, Ellen, you're my friend. Da-na-na-na-na, I'm sitting here on my computer. Da-na-na-na-na, I want to eat some nuts and you eat them too. You are Ellen. Ellen, Ellen.
Bow, bow.
Somehow he is not singing in the key that he is singing in. I don't know how that's...
He created the key.
He created the key, and then he's not singing in it.
And then he diverted mm-hmm. from his creation and made a mess.
He sure did. It was embarrassing. Amy seems to think that it's endearing. So now we have a little montage of, like, just fun date times.
Silly goose stuff.
Yeah, Jamal rips his pants.
It's silly gooses everywhere. I just want to say, if you are watching at home, there is this woman, allegedly her name is Mackenzie, and every shot of her is just her glaring from a couch. I believe her name is Mackenzie, and she is glaring every time they put the camera to her. It's preposterous.
It's like weird Jennifer Coolidge face. Some guy in this little montage refers to his chest hair as taco meat.
He's actually kind of cute.
Have you ever heard of that? No.
I've never heard of it, but it creates a visual, and I know exactly what he's talking about. It's like little
curly
chest hairs, but I've never heard of it. But it paints a picture. Good on you for the creative writing skills.
So now AD tells us in confessional that the lounge has sort of, the women's quarters has kind of changed now that people are making connections. They're less chatty with each other. Everybody's just trying to sort of guard their cards a little bit.
Which Matthew has been doing since day one. He's kept everything close to the vest.
He sure has. So AD and Clay have a date night. Clay says he looks up to his dad. And then he tells AD that he has a big ego. And he uses his smoothness to cover his insecurities, which is self-aware. He also just, again, really is trying to let her know that he's handsome and has money. Subtly, but not subtly at all. He's like, you know, I gotta rely on how I look. And, you know, this way... Like, you can't see all my cash dollars. You can't see my wallet. And they cut back to AD a couple times and she's like, what? Yeah. What is happening?
He's making this. He's like, sk, sk, sk. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, sorry. I was counting my honeys.
Sk, yeah. Sk.
And then he explains that physical appearance is really important to him. It's important to everyone. That's fine. At the reveal, he wants to make sure that he's physically attracted to her. So she asks naturally yes. what he's into.
Mm-hmm. He says he likes petite women with butt and lips. And she is not having this conversation. She is about to get on the bus. And then he says, if I'm going to propose, I have to know that I'm going to be physically attracted.
I just feel like my worst fear is like, we fall in love. We have this beautiful connection. It's like, you know, we do the reveal and it's like, oh, wow. Like, we never really talked about physical. And like, that is important to me. I just want to have that reveal door and, like, you know, be super turned on by my wife, you know?
In what way do you want to talk about appearance in a experiment where we're not talking about appearance?
I just have to be attracted to you.
Do you have, like, a specific thing that you're hoping comes through that door? Or are you open to, like, a beauty that maybe you've never explored?
Naturally, I would say I kind of lean towards more like petite. My favorite attribute is like lips, butt, and all that stuff. And that sounds like so shallow and all that, but like caring what your best attributes are. If I'm gonna propose, that's something I need to know.
And AD rightfully brings it back to the experiment. She says, I mean, regardless of the emotional connection, and she is not into this conversation.
Mm-mm.
I have always said I do respect that looks are a big part of what attracts you to someone. You almost divorced your husband when he shaved his beard.
Correct.
We can't ignore that, but that's not what you signed up for.
The whole fucking point of this show. God, I want her to be my best friend. Now AD is on a date with Matthew. And Matthew is telling her he's not the looker and he's quiet. And he, at a party, he's not the one who's going to be laughing and gregarious. And he says, guys like me win. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? Guys like you win, but he means like the quiet ones. You know, it's the tortoise and the hare kind of situation.
In the long run. You also, sir, you did not need to tell us you weren't the center of attention or the fun. We got it.
As I was watching this, I really was liking this connection. I was really feeling it. It felt so unexpected and sweet. It did sort of feel like Zach and Bliss, like how could this possibly be? He tells her that he's become protective of her. And he says, there's only two outcomes. I either leave here with you or I leave. And he says, the only reason he's there is her. He says, what is my greatest accomplishment? Finding you. He asks her what she thinks about the engagement. He says, what would your dad think? She goes, well, he's dead, so probably not much. I love her so fucking much. And I just wrote, Ellen, am I a sap? Like, I was just sitting there watching this like, oh, I love these two. This is so sweet.
Well, I think because he turned such a corner, he was such a prickly bitch in the beginning.
Yeah.
She took time to get to the center of that Tootsie Pop.
Totally.
And I think there's something really beautiful about that. She's smitten. And I think when you watch it, you think to yourself, well, this is what the experiment is about. It's about getting in those nooks and crannies. And he says, if you want to leave this, I'll leave with you right now. This isn't about winning a game. This isn't about notoriety. She's smitten.
She asks him how important ethnicity and race is. He says it's not important at all. She's just beaming. He says, let's go propose. I'll propose to you on the top of a mountain. I hope they they don't let me down. Because at this point, I was like, this is so sweet. And then I was like, oh, I know you, Netflix. Fool me once. Fool me twice.
I'm going to keep coming back for season 6.
Yeah, I sure am.
And we're going to be here every time waiting.
Sure am. I sure am. It's like that time that I got a bowl of black bean soup and I tasted it. I was so excited for it. And I tasted it and I was like, I think this is off. And then I ate the whole bowl because I just thought the next bite.
It was just that bite.
Right. And then I shit so hard. It was like a rocket launcher from my butt.
Oh, boy.
So we're back in the women's quarters. If you have those wrist and leg restraints that they put you in like movies where people go to the insane asylum, strap yourself in. Amber, who we haven't seen much of, but who I like. Amber and AD are chatting, and Amber says, I just had a great date with Matthew. AD's like, oh, with Matthew? She says,
he talked about like asking my dad.
Oh, yeah, for your interview.
And if he can't do that, I mean, it was a great date.
At one point, she says he would leave with me today. And AD goes, not him leaving with you today.
And I have to hand it to AD in this moment. She is so composed. She doesn't even crack her face. And you know she is breaking inside because I am not Shakira. My hips can lie. My face cannot.
AD says it's getting weirder and weirder with every fucking minute.
And you know she is running a million scenarios in her head, poor thing, about how she just got played like Ron Burgundy plays the jazz flute. And she is handling it like a rock star. I want to DoorDash her edibles, both THC and an arrangement.
Yep. Ellen, my non-existent balls went back up into my body. Record scratch, fucking cars hitting each other. This was the fastest fucking heartbreak in Love is Blind history.
It's a lot to take in the first episode. As we get in, you know the drill, you know the ride. It's gonna be bumpy, but man, was this an awesome kickoff episode of season 6.
This show so much. I love it so much.
So many twists, mm-hmm. Honey. They came to play. Yeah. They came with their cleats tied.
This might have been the best first episode of a season so far.
Thank you so much for listening to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. We had to wake up at the ass crack of dawn to listen, note, and bring this episode to you. So I hope we made your day. But we're going to keep on going all the way through season 6. Tell them where they can find us, Daisy.
Well, you can find me in my bed, and you can also find me on the internets at Daisy Egan. You can also hear my other podcast, Strange and Unexplained, which drops every Thursday. And my other podcast for Grab Bag Collab is Dear Daisy, which airs every other Friday. How about you, Ellen Marsh?
You can find me on socials at Ellen Marsh. I spell my name with a Y. I am very sorry. You can also listen to I Think Not.
Never heard
of it.
With
Joey Taranto.
Never heard of it.
A true crime show where we recap true crime TV shows. You can also find me with Rabia Chaudhry at
Who?
Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. It is a true crime talk show where every other week we have a guest. And every other week, aside from that, we report the true crime headlines. You can find us anywhere you get your podcast. We really appreciate all of your support on all of our projects. It means the world to us. Also, download us on the general feed, Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, and give us your support there as we try and grow Grab Bag Collab for these wonderful women bringing you an independent network and independent podcasts. A whole new way of listening to podcasts. I'm so proud of you, Daisy.
Oh, thank you. I literally couldn't have done it without you.
I love you.
Love you.
Thank you all so much. Until the next episode.
Shut the fuck up.
You know what your customers are doing right this second? The exact same thing you are, listening to me. Which, let's be honest, is kind of flattering. But my point is, ads on iHeartRadio actually get heard. In the car, at the gym, on the couch, while people are walking their dogs. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? You're a good boy. That's right. You're a good boy. So why not make the next ad about you? Get started today. Call 844-844-IHEART or go to iHeartAdvertising.com. That's 844-844-IHEART or iHeartAdvertising.com.